ask in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to have you here again, man. Good to have Pastor Gunter here also with us. Sorry I'm not able to stay to the whole conference. We know that you'll be in good hands with him as your preacher and speaker. Yesterday, we talked about the pastor and the leader as a soldier. The day before, we talked about the pastor as a son. And today, this meeting, and then our last meeting, which will be in the afternoon, is it?
Yes,
in the afternoon, at 3:30, we will be talking about what you'd like to talk about. Now,
all right.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have five other standards for a pastor. And perhaps you'd like to pick one of them, and we can pick that one. We don't have time to take all of them because we don't have that much time. I'm going to read off the five choices, and you see what you'd like to speak, talk about, and we'll make up our mind. Verse 5, do you want to talk about the pastor as a sportsman or an athlete? Verses 6 to 14, do you want to talk about the pastor as a sword?
All right.
Verses 15 to verse 19, do you want to talk about the pastor as a student? Verses 20 to 23, do you want to talk about the pastor as a saucer or a vessel? Or in verses 24 to 26, do you want to talk about the pastor as a servant? Once more, sportsman, sore, student.
Okay.
Or saucer or servant. Okay, we could hit the high spots. Okay. Now, you had some questions yesterday. Do you want to have the questions, or do you want to hit the high spots here?
Yeah.
A little bit of each. Okay. All right. Fasten your seat belts, and we'll do the best we can.
Okay.
The pastor is a sportsman. Verse 5. There's three things about the sportsman or the athlete. The pastor is striving. The pastor sights. And the sportsman's style. Yes, sir. Turn the volume a little bit down. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. The pastor is a sportsman. The idea of the sportsman, he must be regulated. Notice first, past the sportsman's striving. The Word of God says, and if a man also strive for mastery. That when a sportsman has a sport, he must work hard. That means strive. An athlete for football must work hard, strive.
All right. It
takes work and time.
It
takes planning and skill.
It
takes foresight and pain. Tiredness, perseverance. Takes a lot of inconvenience to practice. If a sportsman doesn't want to work hard and strive, he shouldn't be a sportsman. The word for strive is athleto. We get the word athlete from strive. The present tense, continue to strive, continue to work.
It
means to be a champion in the public games.
It
means to struggle, to have conflict. Let's read verse 5 together. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. All right, notice the second thing, the sportsman's sights. Yet is he not crowned. The sportsman's sights must be on that crown. The prize is important. When a crown is given, it's given by the Lord Jesus himself. It's for faithful pastors, faithful leaders, faithful people in the Lord. First Peter 5:1-4 speaks of pastors, bishops, elders. All one off the name for the same office of pastor. And verse 4 says of 1 Peter 5. When the chief shepherd shall appear, that's the Lord Jesus himself, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. The crowns they received for prizes in those days were just wreaths. They got old and stale and died in a matter of days. But the faithful sportsman or athlete for Christ, receives a crown that will never pass away. So for the sportsman, goals are important. If you're a pastor or a leader or even a Christian, you will appear before your judge. He will judge the quality of your sportsmanship, your athletic contest.
Amen.
May you hear from his lips, well done. The sportsman who's for the Lord is not just in the contest for a little exercise. He's not in the contest, the sportsman for the Lord, just for exercise.
Okay.
But so we should win the crown of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crown of glory. And when we get the crown from Christ, we give it right back to him. And in the book of Revelation, we cast it at his feet. So it's not a selfish crown. That word crown is
Stephanao.
Stephen comes from that word, Stephanao.
Okay.
It means to continuously be crowned. The Lord Jesus does not want us as sportsmen just to be crowned once. He wants us to continually receive crowns from him. Do you understand what it means, the sportsman's sights, what that word sights means? Sights are what you're aiming at. A gun has two sights. It has a rear sight and a front sight. If you're aiming at something, you must line up the rear sight and the front sight.
Okay,
I'll
get you that old money.
And aim it right at what you're shooting at. Then you must squeeze the trigger slowly. When I was a Navy chaplain with the U.S. Navy, for 5 years on active duty, I was with the Marines for 2 years. We represented the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. For 1 year, I was without my family in Okinawa. I was with the Marine Infantry. Lots of marching. It was as hot there in Okinawa as it is right here. But I used the rifle, the M1 rifle at that time. I didn't kill anybody. Just for practice. And we had target practice in the Philippine Islands one time. I stopped and visited some of our Baptist missionaries while I was in the Philippines. But I thought I would go ahead and shoot just like the Marines were qualifying with a rifle. When I was younger, we used to shoot .22 caliber. So I knew pretty well how to use a rifle. And I was glad that I got a superior rating in my rifle. And I did so also with the Marines. I forget the name of what they call the top, whatever you can get, whether it's superior or master, I don't remember what the name of it is. But there's three classes that they give to you, 1, 2, and 3. The highest is the third highest the mark, whatever it is. I think it's expert rifleman. Expert, I think that's it. I think it's marksman, sharpshooter, and expert, something like that. But you have to aim at that target. You have to put your sights on that target if you want to hit it. And you've heard our expression in English many times, I'm sure. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time.
What?
You will hit it every time. We better try that again. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Isn't that right? All right, thank you, Brother Gunther. That's why I never know how to really get through. All right, so we must have our sights on the crown for Christ. Not to please man. But to please our Savior and Lord. The third thing about the sportsman is his style. You know what I mean, style? In other words, how he does it. Notice. It says, except he will not be crowned, yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You may have your sights on the crown, but if you don't strive in a lawful manner, you will be a disaster. Every sport has rules. Football, basketball, hockey, all the sports have rules. The Lord Jesus Christ is a sportsman. We have rules in His service also. No shortcuts. We must strive lawfully. Years ago, there was an Indianapolis 500-mile race in our country. He won the race.
All right.
This was a race in automobiles. Maybe you don't understand what the race is. He got there first. Huh? He's all right?
Yes.
He got there first before all the other cars. But he did not win the race. He did not win the race. Because he didn't heed and listen to a yellow flag. He did not strive lawfully. When the yellow flag goes down, he's supposed to stop his car. Some other driver has an accident. And he doesn't want to run over that driver. But this man didn't care about the other driver. He wanted to get there first. So he got there first. And he lost the race. Be careful, pastors. Strive lawfully. We have pastors in our country. We have deacons in our country. You have pastors probably and deacons in your country. Who have fallen into sin. I wish that would stop. Every time I hear of a new one, I wish it would stop. It has not stopped in our country. Maybe it hasn't stopped in your country. Adultery, adultery, adultery. Pastors, leaders, shame on them. I mean leaders in our country. I mean council of 18 representatives of the GRBC in our country. Dr. Don Sewell, number one. Pastor Virgil Stone King, number two. Both of them sitting on the Council of 18, the highest councils of our GRBC. And sleeping with women other than their wives. Do you see how much trouble we are in the American country? The second man, Pastor Virgil Stone King, was my pastor. I was in his church for 3 years. My wife and I did not think his preaching was strong preaching. That was Bethel Baptist Church, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So we moved to Haddon Heights Baptist Church, Haddon Heights, New Jersey. With a strong young man preaching the Word of God. 1 year after we left that church, this adultery surfaced of this pastor. When this pastor first came into the church, the youth leader was in adultery. The youth leader and the choir director in adultery in our church, my church.
Youth leader and the choir director.
This pastor who later would commit adultery, Pastor Stone King, took over the church exactly when this adultery was exposed. Did he learn his lesson about adultery? No, he didn't learn his lesson about adultery. As Pastor Strong King came to deal with the adultery of Dan Pescucci, three more years later, he himself committed adultery the same way. Two in 5 years. Leaders in our country, we must strive lawfully. And it saddens my heart to see this continue. When will it stop? That's my question. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can keep us pure toward Him. And we must strive lawfully if we're to win His crown. Are there any brief questions before going on to the pastor as a sword? Okay, the pastor as a sword, verses 6 through 14.
All right, pastor, come on, that's okay.
Let's read 6 through 14, even though it's a little long. Let's say verse 6. Let's read verse 6.
Yes, I wrote down.
the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. In the pastor as a sower, we want to see five things.
All right? Il n'est pas un uniquement.
First, in verse 6,
is that sower?
Sower, the sower. The sower.
Okay. All right?
We see, first of all, in verse 6, the sower's satisfaction. Did you have a question? A sower is one that sows seeds in the field.
Okay.
A sower that sows seeds in the field. Okay, we have enough.
All right.
Verse 6. The sower's satisfaction.
All right. The Verse 7.
The sower's story. His story.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay.
And verses 8 to 12, the sower's sorrows and successes.
All right. You cover the demo. The
And verse 13, the sower's security.
All right. You cover the demo. The
Safety and security.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then the last one, the sower's summons.
Okay.
I'm sorry to bother you with such hard words. But they all in English begin with S.
Yes,
so
right.
We use S in our English. Okay. homiletically, but sometimes that gets in our way, doesn't it?
True. Okay, they are not going to move. Okay, since the ticket, you have to walk here, you're down here, and when I'm out, you have the room.
First, verse 6, the sower's satisfaction. The husbandman that laboreth. The husbandman, of course, is a farmer. If a farmer labors, he must first be partaker of the fruits. By the way, there's no communism or socialism implied here.
All right, you're okay. Communism is socialism.
This is free enterprise.
You're okay.
For private ownership.
Okay,
because the one that labors partakes of his own garden. It's implied that he owns that land and he labors and he gets the fruits of it. This is freedom. The fruits are his reward for laboring as a sower. When you as a pastor or a leader sow the word of God, then you will get fruits also. The sower is rewarded in the material things. The sower is also rewarded with material things. Pastors should be supported by their churches.
First Corinthians 9:7
teaches us this.
First Corinthians,
in fact, from 7 to 15, all of the teaching is the church must support their pastors and ministers. A church that has their pastors go hungry is not honoring to the Lord. Now, Paul did not require that of himself. But he said of others, You must not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. As that ox walks around treading the corn, very hard work, his mouth must be open to eat that corn. Don't put a muzzle on that mouth. And keep him from eating that corn. He's laboring for the corn. He deserves that corn. Paul says the laborer is worthy of his hire. That means when you work hard as a pastor, you deserve your wages. You should be rewarded with material things so that you can feed you and your family. But the sower is also rewarded with spiritual things. As we pastors see sinners coming to the Savior in salvation, that's a reward. As we see the believers growing in grace, that's a reward. As we see the believers reading their Bibles and knowing God's Word for themselves, that's a reward. If we hear the Lord Jesus when we finish our course, if we hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's a reward. And so we have to notice that word, that labor. Husbandman, that's the farmer, that labor. But let's not pass by that word husbandman for a minute. It's from two Greek words, ge, which means earth or ground. And ergon.
Okay, ergon.
Which means to work. Someone that works the ground. He's a husbandman or a farmer. He could be a vine dresser, keeper of the vines. And notice that word to work.
It
says laboreth in verse 6. This is kapionta. From kapiao. Present tense again. Continuous action. Over and over and over. Working. God does not want lazy leaders. We've got to be hardworking, continuous workers. All the time. You work as hard in this Bible conference. You work us very hard. Meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting. But that's good. I'm used to hard labor. I'm used to work. I work all the time in my country. I go to school in the morning. I teach all day. I come home, I work on the Bible for today. And now every spare minute I work for the Lord.
Okay.
This word kapiao means to be wearied or spent with labor. It means to faint because you're so weary. You faint. This word is for hard toil. Hard toil. And We've got too many pastors and leaders who do not toil hard. God, deliver us from laziness in the service of Christ. That's what it means to love the Lord with our strength. We have a hymn, and you know it perhaps. Let us labor for the Master. You know that one? From the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when our work on earth is over, when our work on earth is ended,
across the swelling tide.
Let me try it again, all at once, and you can wait. Let me see.
Okay.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over, and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now, if you can remember that.
Okay.
Let me try. I think I can remember now. Okay. It's been a long time since I said that from memory. All right. Let us labor for the... See, that's not the first stanza of that hymn.
Hey,
go ahead. I think that's the second or third stanza. So please pardon my memory lapse and my forgiveness. Yes, sir. The last stanza. Okay, all right. Maybe the fourth then. All right. Let us labor for the Master. From the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over, and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there.
Amen.
Amen. So let us labor. The soldier is one thing that fights, but the sword is a man that labors. Now let's look at that little word must. The husbandman that laboreth must.
Okay.
That's from the word
deo.
That also is present tense. Always, continuously. He always must. No exceptions. This word means to be binding. To be necessary. To be inevitable. It always happens. If you labor hard, you always must.
And you grab what you need, then you have to say,
be a partaker of the fruits.
That
God will give you fruits. You must have fruit.
And bless it to go.
That's a promise of God.
I'm a good be.
Some 30-fold.
This sound 30-fold.
Some 60-fold.
Okay.
Some 60-fold. 60 more. 60. Some 30.
Okay. Oh.
Some 100.
All right. All right. Two more. We beg you, come here. Dear, be more. 30-fold or 60-fold.
But the Lord has promised, if we labor, as workers in the earth and farmers, for the Lord, and sow the seed of the Word of God, fruit will be produced.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's look at the second thing about the sportsman. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The sword.
All right.
We call it the sword's story.
All right. Notice
in verse 7. Let's read that together, please. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now Paul says that the story must be told. Paul's telling Timothy the story about the sword. He says we should learn this lesson well. The sword has a real story, a message for us. And we must understand it. And he says, consider what I say. And he says, the Lord give the understanding about this sword. And so that's the story of the sword. A larger portion, verses 8 to 12, talks about the sower's sorrows and successes. Now, as we read these verses, I'm going to point out sorrow. And I'm going to point out some successes.
Okay.
Sowing seeds are not always good. We're not always successful in the sowing. Let's look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ said, read it please. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. All right, let's see. According to my gospel, or just verse 8. Now, where it says he was raised from the dead, that's success. But before that success, there was sorrow, the crucifixion. That's according to his gospel. Now notice verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together, please. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now notice, where he says, wherein I suffer trouble. That's sorrow in his ministry. As an evildoer. They call him an evildoer. That's sorrow. Even on the bonds he put in prison. That's sorrow. But the word of God is not bound. That's success. You see how Paul, when he tells this man Timothy, about the sword, he gives him successes and sorrow. Successes and sorrow. Do you get every seed that you plant growing to a full plant? No. Sometimes if it's a bad year, nothing grows. So the farmer must learn success and sorrow. Let's read verse 10. Oh, excuse me. Okay. The question was, he wants to understand, according to my gospel. He says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. In verse 8. According to his gospel, Paul's gospel. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4.
1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that
I delivered unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you believed, by which also you were saved. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. How that he was buried. And how that he rose again according to the Scripture.
And
so that's Paul's gospel. Preached it everywhere. Resurrection. Okay, that's what he meant. Now, let's read verse 10. If you have questions, please raise up your hands and we'll be glad to answer. Yossi, yes, sir. Yes, on the sword.
Okay, and we said the sword has to be satisfied
with
whatever he sold. Yes. My question is, then the sword has to constantly work. Is it possible, is it good for the local church to give a vacation to the
sword? Okay, the question, let me get the question. Since the sword is working, laboring hard, is it good for the local church to give a vacation to the sword once in a while? Okay. Yes, I think yes, we should think of our pastors and their health, and we ought to give them vacation, yes. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the righteous man taketh thought or cares for the beast or the animals that he owns. Not that preachers are animals, but the righteous man cares for even the lowest of life. How much more Christ's servant? We cared for that dog that foolishly ran out that window. He fell on that ledge. We all saw it. So we went and got a ladder. And they took the ladder and put it out the window. And asked that dog to come over. To safety. And he wouldn't come. At first. We had to go get him. We had to say, come over. Then they had to grab him. And all the different ones grabbed him. Pastor Joel grabbed him and lifted him on the ladder. Put him back into this room. And the silly dog tried to go out the window again. But the righteous man would care for that animal. We had a heart desire to help that animal. But unsaved men many times don't care about even their animals. They treat them badly. So our pastors, we should treat well.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus also, one more thing, the Lord Jesus also said to his disciples, come ye apart and rest
awhile.
And that means they need rest too. We have an expression in our country you may not understand. I'll explain. If you do not come apart and rest a while, you will come apart. You'll explode.
Okay, and the one strength, then you put that way.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So much for that. Let's read now verse 10.
Oh,
we're 5 minutes over time. We must close. Back to Pastor. Huh? Back to Pastor John. Go. Yes. All right? As soon as he sees the women coming, we'll stop.
Yeah, we'll stop.
We're not doing anything wrong.
No.
Why should we stop? Just because we see the woman go. Right. I'm just kidding. All right. Now, let's read verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now notice, therefore I endure all things. That's sorrow. For the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation. That's success. Which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's success. Look at verse 11. Let's read that, please. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Notice, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, that's sorrow. But we shall live with him, that's success. Notice verse 12, let's read that, please. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Notice, if we suffer, that's sorrow. We shall reign with him, that's success. If we deny him, that's sorrow. He will deny us, that's more sorrow. Notice verse 11. We're going to start verse 13 next time. Because verse 13 begins the sower's security. His safety and security. But in all of this so far, we have the ups and downs, ups and downs. That's the life of a sower. But remember what it says in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a law of sowing and reaping. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And don't forget verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing. For we shall reap. We shall get some fruits if we faint not. So keep on keeping on.
Turn
back to Pastor Joe.
Okay, Pastor Joe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.